In the halls of the UN headquarters building in New York, there is talk of a showdown. One veteran observer has warned of a train wreck as the 191 member states struggle to meet an end-of-year deadline for agreement on an array of controversial reform proposals. Probably the most contentious of the proposals is aimed at modernizing the UN management structure. It would vastly increase the Secretary General's authority over the UN bureaucracy and budget. Much of that authority now rests with the General Assembly. A group of more than 130 countries has objected, saying the proposed reforms would take away what little voice they have in how the world body operates. The urgent need for a management overhaul was highlighted by the Volcker Commission inquiry into the scandal-plagued UN-run Oil for Food program. Chairman Paul Volcker said his investigators concluded that Saddam Hussein had taken advantage of lax UN administration to thoroughly corrupt the humanitarian program.
That this last report reinforces and underscores the need for fundamental and wide-ranging administrative reform. That, to me, is the central point that emerges from this inquiry that is extended over 18 months.
Washington's UN Ambassador John Bolton has been leading an aggressive campaign for reform since he arrived last August. Frustrated at the slow pace of reform talks, Ambassador Bolton this month suggested that approval of the next two-year budget might be withheld in favor of a quarterly budget, pending agreement on reform. That suggestion prompted a warning from Secretary General Kofi Annan that, if enacted, the proposal could throw the UN budget process into chaos.
You need a budget for us to be able to plan ahead and carry out our work. And if you do not do that, you really have no basis of even asking the member states to contribute. And you may create a serious financial crisis for the organization.
But Ambassador Bolton defended the partial budget idea. He noted that the so-called continuing resolutions are often used by the U.S. Congress to keep the government running while budget disputes are settled. He called it an example of creative thinking at a time of crisis at the world body.
We've got to find a way to do something other than business as usual on the budget and on other things. Business as usual has gotten us to the state where we need a revolution of reform. And business as usual isn't going to accomplish that revolution. We simply shouldn't do what we've done before because that's the way we've always done it.
The man charged with shepherding through a reform compromise is General Assembly President Jan Eliasson. The veteran Swedish diplomat has promised progress before the end of the year and says he is optimistic a consensus can be reached by December 20th, when he is due to fly home for Christmas. Despite a cold, President Eliasson recently briefed reporters for nearly an hour on the status of negotiations in five key areas of reform. But when asked about widely held fears among diplomats that the whole process might collapse, his voice gave out.
It is not intentionally that I'm losing my voice. First of all, diplomats are not by nature optimistic. But presidents of the General Assembly has to be optimistic.
In the absence of that, will we have no consensus or what?
I can't speculate in that. I have to be optimistic. We'll talk about that between the 15th and 20th of December. We'll see where we are in those intense negotiations.
Columbia University professor Edward Luck, a veteran UN observer, warns of a possible train wreck if negotiations fail. In a telephone interview, the former president of the United Nations Association of the United States said fallout from a failure could further weaken American support for the world body and prove an embarrassment for reform advocates, including Secretary General Annan.
If we can't get a decent package on management issues, there'll be a great temptation on Capitol Hill and maybe even the Bush administration to start withholding funds, which would exacerbate the U.S.-UN relationship, exacerbate the feelings between the U.S. and a lot of other member states, weaken our position within the organization, and make the temptation to look elsewhere to get the job done more tempting than usual. So there could be the beginning of a downward spiral that could be quite negative.
Professor Luck says the deeper problem is that too many countries resist change because they like the status quo, even with all its inefficiencies.
There are countries, unfortunately, that would prefer mediocre management of the organization as long as the General Assembly kept more control, because they don't treat this as a management issue, but they're treating it as a political issue, which is not surprising since most everything around the UN is political. Right now there's so much micromanagement from the General Assembly that I think it's really crippling the UN. And I think we've seen this with the oil food scandal, where everyone points a finger to somebody else, when at the end of the day, no one was in charge. And that's why so much of this corruption was able to leak into the system.
With weeks to go before the deadline for agreement, there is still a widely held belief that at least some face-saving agreement will be found, thereby avoiding a crisis and moving the process forward a step or two. But even optimists agree the root of the crisis is likely to remain. Secretary General Annan's chief of staff, Mark Malik Brown, recently summed up the issue nagging diplomats as they search for a solution. He told a reporter, "In a way, this is setting the outcome of whether the United Nations matters or not in 10 years' time." Peter Heinlein, VOA News, the United Nations.